Welcome to our newest adventure for first responder wellness. No one fights alone. In-depth conversations about mental health and culture in the first responder space. We're joined by your co-hosts, Austin Pedersen and Brad Shepard.
Hey, welcome back to No One Fights Alone podcast. Austin is absent today. He was not able to be with us with his new executive director role. He gets pulled away quite a bit, but today we are going to talk about National Police Week that's happening as we speak or winding down in Washington, D.C. And the guests I have today are Max Morgan. We've had Max on before, Utah County Sheriff's Office in Utah, and Kyle McAllister from Bristol County Sheriff's Office in Massachusetts. Both of these gentlemen are national board members of the National Organization of Concerned Police Survivors. What's up, guys?
What's up? How are you, Brad?
Good. Hey, I'm so happy to have you guys on, and I know you're still in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes.
This is still unfolding. This is still unpacking. Police Week is, we're kind of winding down. But just let's start off with how are you guys doing? How's the week been?
It's been good. It's one of the longest weeks of the year, but it's also one of the quickest weeks of the year. You get here into D.C. and you've got, you know, 7-8 days planned ahead of you. And then before you know it, you're the night before leaving. So it all goes fast. It's a whirlwind.
I second what Max says. It's a long, emotional, but rewarding week.
Well, I definitely want to dive into a little bit of Concerned Police Survivors and the impact you guys make and the hundreds of survivors and thousands of supporters and survivors that show up annually. We'll dive into that. But I think just for clarity, I want to pop out the principal organizers of National Police Week are National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, Fraternal Order of Police and Fraternal Order of Police Auxiliary, and Concerns of Police Survivors. You guys want to describe maybe the impact or the positioning and the influence that those three organizations have on this Police Week a little bit, just kind of an overview?
Yeah. The Police Week's been going on since I think about 1986. I can't remember exactly the year that it all started, but the three organizations all work together pretty closely. So the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund is the organization that runs the Officer Down Memorial, which is where all the names are engraved at the wall. They have a museum there also. They're very integral on names being approved for that wall. There's a board consisting of the FOP, the NLAOMF, and Concerns of Police Survivors that all meet several times a year to approve those names. So yeah, that's one part of it. Another part is the FOP. The FOP is in charge of the memorial that's on the 15th there on the Capitol, the lawn of the Capitol, where, you know, each officer's name that's being honored is read. A family member is able to walk up to the wreath and pin a carnation on that wreath. And then
Concerns of Police Survivors is the, I guess, the logistical part of it. We are responsible for bringing the survivors here. This year, we had just over 4,000 surviving family members and coworkers pre-registered that arrived here earlier this week. And our mission is to rebuild shattered lives. And making sure that they get the peer support end of the week, and ensuring that no one goes through this journey alone.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Thanks, guys, for breaking that down a little bit. Let's just kind of go through the week as a calendar and maybe highlight some events. And you guys tell me maybe an overview or even deep dive it a little bit and some of these things, I'm sure, having been to Police Week many times myself, some of these have a really great impact on you as a person and touch your heart. But May 11, let's just start there. Is that okay if I just run through a little bit of the calendar? May 11, of course, some of the people show up a little bit early, but May 11 kind of kicks it off with a National Police Week 5K, a National Police K-9 Memorial Service. Any Any thoughts on May 11?
So this year, I mean, most of the Concerns of Police Survivors Board comes in, our travel day is the 10th. So we're here on the 11th. This year we did something that we've never done before. As a board, we went over to the airport and met with all the motors that run Police Week. So in Washington, D.C., we have about 280 motors officers that are here that do escorts from the airport, that do escorts from the hotels to the different events throughout the week. And so our president, Connie Moyer, arranged for us to go over there and meet with all the motors officers. We handed them some patches from Concerns of Police Survivors, got to walk around and talk with them. And really, they show up early and do a lot of work, and then they're kind of gone. And you know, we wanted to take the opportunity this year to be able to say thank you to them. So that was a really good opportunity. Our executive director was at the 5K. So a lot of these events, there's so many events going on, we kind of have to split sometimes, and some go one direction, so others go another direction. But going over there to meet with all those motors officers was a pretty cool thing on the morning of the 11th.
Now, the motors officers, where do they find all these motors officers, and how what's some of the coordination of those officers?
So a guy in Kyle's, in one of his chapters, helps arrange all that. I'll let him.
Yeah, so Mike Wiggins is from Pennsylvania. He is a surviving father. He was actually a motor officer himself, and unfortunately his son was killed right in front of him mm-hmm. on a motor doing an escort for a funeral. But Mike is retired now, and he still does the coordination of the bikes for National Police Week. And there is motors from all over the country, NYPD, Louisiana, Orlando, Florida, all over, that come to do escorts for family members to and from the airport and to the Candlelight Vigil and to the FOP Memorial Service on the 15th.
Kyle, can you describe a little bit about what that actually looks like as a visual reference for our listeners to watch because the survivors are loaded up on a bus at the airport? And then they're driven to their respective hotels. What's the impact of that visually when you see these motors escorting these survivors?
It's hard to describe. You know, these families, they're coming here not knowing what to expect. When they walk off the plane, they're greeted by probably 10 to 15 Honor Guard members right off the plane. Then they're escorted to the bus with their luggage. They're put on a bus, and then there's probably 20 bikes, motors escorting them from the airport to the host hotel. And I think you could just tell the impact it has on them, because all of them have their phones out recording this, and it just makes them feel welcome. It's just moving to see. And you see it throughout the whole week with all the events going to the Candlelight Vigil and to the FOP Memorial Service. And driving through the city, you got 50 buses being escorted by motors, and the streets being shut down, the city being shut down. You just see people on the sidewalks recording this. They don't even know what it is, but they can just tell it's something important. And they, you know, you just see them all recording it, and they just have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I so agree. It is a deeply moving experience to actually visually see that that illustration and that those motors escorting. So if we keep moving, kind of 5K, the K-9 Memorial Service. Did either one of you have anything to do with the K-9 Memorial Service on May 11?
No, those were both going on at the same time as some of these others. Sure. So yeah, like I said, we kind of have to divide and yep. stuff. So
no, there's a lot going on at Police Week. And in fact, there's from what I'm listing, there's this ton of stuff that are not even on this calendar list. So May 12 is Police Unity Tour Arrival Ceremony and Law Enforcement United Arrival Ceremony. Tell me what those two events really are.
So both of them are bike rides, pedal bike rides. People that the Police Unity Tour has several different chapters that they fundraise Each rider has to raise a certain amount of money to be able to ride. And then it's like a 3-day ride. They come into several different areas around DC, the surrounding areas that are like 3 days away, and they ride usually 100 miles a day. The logistics of that too, you know, road shut down, escorted by motors, and then, you know, their hotels and dinners for all of that. I mean, that's a huge undertaking for those guys, for both the Police Unity Tour and the Law Enforcement United. Police Unity Tour rides into the Memorial Wall there, the National Officer Down Memorial Wall, and lots of people are there to watch that. And as with the Law Enforcement United Tour, most of these officers are all riding in honor of somebody. So they have metal bracelets that are made that have an officer's name on it. They'll usually have a patch that's sewn onto their jersey for the department of an officer that they're riding for. This year was really pretty cool. It's the first year. So we've moved our host hotel to the Washington Hilton. So we're right downtown DC here. And we had the Law Enforcement United ride and right here at the Washington Hilton. And so you had hundreds and hundreds of riders come and right here. We had, you know, lots of volunteers, lots of people here to give them medals, to greet them. It's a really emotional time, whether it's the Law Enforcement United or the Police Unity Tour for those riders. Means a lot because, like I said, they're mostly riding in honor of somebody, either a family member, maybe a, and it's open to anybody. You have lots of family members, you know, that maybe lost a brother or a sister, that they'll ride for them. You'll have coworkers that ride for the guy in their department. But a pretty emotional entrance, you know, when they come in.
It's an incredible, another incredibly deeply moving visual reference to see how many people are moving. And some of these people are riding from all over the United States. I mean, they don't physically ride every mile, but they're coming in from nearly every state. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all over the country. And this year, LEU donated $500,000 to COPS, which goes to our hands-on programs and kids programs.
That is incredible.
From this ride.
That is incredible. Kyle, do a quick commercial on infomercial on your programs there for COPS. What does that money go into, and what are those programs?
So the our hands-on programs, I believe we have 14 of them, from coworkers to spouses retreats, kids camp, adult childs, young adults, extended family, spouses for couples. And we just recently added retreats for suicide survivors of officers that died of suicide. We have many options for hands-on programs. The all-new Surviving the Thriving Conference. The money is donated from LEU, go to our kids' camps, young adults' camps, and it just assists it's a 3-day, a 4-day, retreat for surviving coworkers and family members to attend with their respective survivorship.
That's incredible, because these camps and retreats, they don't cost the survivor anything, right? Is that accurate?
That's correct. They are free to everyone because of these donations.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Well, let's keep moving through. Let's keep moving through the week, because I know we've got some cool things ahead. So that's May 12. May 13 is the annual candlelight vigil. I know there's other things going on May 13. If I've left anything off there, you guys want to highlight, go ahead. But the candlelight vigil, you guys, tell me a little bit about that interaction and what that's about.
So I think the candlelight vigil is probably my favorite event of the week. And it used to be held right down there on the same grounds as the memorial. It just got too big and has now been moved to the Washington Mall. So the candlelight vigil is a time when you have officers from all over the country that show up. A lot of the riders from both the bike rides we just talked about will stay for the candlelight vigil. Just because of how neat it is, but you have all the families and departments of those people that are being honored that, that show up. And it obviously starts after it gets dark and we have a few speakers. You know, you've always got dignitaries here from Washington, D.C. that are there. And it's run by the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund. And our president, the Concerns of Police Survivors president, speaks every year for a few minutes. Connie Moyer spoke this year, did an amazing job, a few musical numbers. And then, you know, towards the end of the night, our national president and one of the dignitaries from Washington light the candle on the stage. And then that flame is passed to candles there in the crowd. And as the Concerns of Police Survivors National Board, we kind of help pass that flame through the crowd. And in a matter of about less than a minute, I mean, you have tens of thousands of candles lit. A lot of times if you see an aerial view of that, it's just amazing, you know, the amount of people that are there to honor those that are being honored. So each, and then before the candlelight, those candles are lit and every name is read. You know, they go by state and every name that's being honored this year, I think it was 262 names that were read there at the candlelight vigil. Means a lot to those families, you know, give them the recognition that they deserve from their officer.
So this year, during Connie's speech, this is her first year as president and her first speech at the candlelight. This year she referred to the movie Finding Nemo, referring to the trauma of the Nemo getting lost. And she referred that to basically how we are as survivors. And her mission, her message to the survivors this year is just to keep swimming, because that's what our loved ones would want us to do. And it couldn't be any more true. And it was very touching. Like today, she was pulled aside because there was a family lost on the metro, and there was a cops counselor on the metro with them, next to them. And the kid was saying, "Hey mom, where are we? Where are we going? We're lost." And, coming back from the candlelight vigil, and, the mother said, "Remember what that lady said, just keep swimming and these people will get us where we need to be." And that's truly what we are about.
What a great message. Yeah. I think it's one of my favorites, as well, of the entirety of the week. It's, again, many times over these events or galas or they're deeply moving, but the candlelight, the visual interaction of seeing the candles all through the mall is just amazing. And one of the things I wanted to point out, Max, you brought up the reading of the names. It's really powerful to see each state respectively when they call. Per state, you know, the officers and family members will stand. So you'll see just an overwhelming sense of duty and respect from seeing that stand. Is that fair?
Yeah. It's you know, you get some of these bigger states that unfortunately have a lot more line of duty deaths and, you know, have more people there just because of the numbers of people that are being honored. And, you know, and they all stand in honor, not just officers, but family members. Everybody stands in, you know, in honor of that. It's a pretty awe-inspiring scene to watch. It's pretty cool.
Perfect. Am I missing anything else on May 13 that you guys want to point out? Maybe it's not on the national calendar.
No, I think that's the biggest part of the 13th.
Well, May 14 is a big Concerns of Police Survivors Day, I know, because May 14 is National Honor Guard Competition and Pipe Band Competition, but also the Concerns of Police Survivors puts on a Survivors Conference. So tell us a little bit about the conference.
So this is like the first events that the survivors get to attend, the first year families. It's kind of our opening session where they get introduced to the national board, the national president. And during this, they get to hear other survivors tell their stories and what COPS has done for them, what their hands-on programs have done for them. We have a survivor panel with four different survivors on it. led by Ty Pyro. And they tell their stories so that other first-year families can hear the impact that COPS has had on them and what we can do for them. And then after that, they have breakout sessions for their respective survivorship so that they can be with other parents or other siblings, other spouses, other coworkers, other extended family members to hear what other people do for their coping skills and hear each other's stories and make connections with each other so that when they leave here, they have someone that they can go to that knows what they're going through.
I absolutely love where you're going with that, Kyle. And I'm gonna chase a rabbit here just for a little bit on it. I'm gonna ask you guys a couple questions. I'd love to hear both your perspectives on this. So what you're describing and what I've experienced in Police Week is this powerful connection of people who have walked the path, marrying up with people who have never navigated this before ever, this enormously difficult, painful path of losing their loved one and attending Police Week for their first year. Is that fair? Let me just ask that as a question. What is your take on what I just said?
So yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely crucial, because when somebody experiences a line of duty death and that loss, you know, there's a lot of people that essentially just feel lost, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a parent, whether it's a sibling, whether it's a spouse. You know, and back home where they're from, there's not, you know, there's maybe not a lot of people that understand what they're going through. There's probably not a lot of parents that have been through the same thing, or, you know, a spouse or whatever that is. And so the beauty of this organization is there's so many people that come to Police Week. There's people that have been coming to Police Week for 25 years. They come every single year. And then there's also your people that they're your first year attendees to Police Week. And so for those first year attendees, like a spouse, that's, you know, struggling, they just, you know, recently lost their spouse, and they get to come into some of these sessions and sit with other spouses who've maybe 2 years, you know, removed from their loss, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. And they're able to sit and talk to them and understand that there is hope, and then understand that there is ways to get through this. And that they're not just at home by themselves feeling hopeless and lost. You know, they're able to have that network of people that can say, hey, I've been there. You know, I know what you're going through, and let me help you.
Kyle, how do you feel about going back? What draws you back to going to Police Week in that connection verbiage?
So, I mean, it's helping people. It's repaying back to the organization what this organization has done for my family. And that's what this organization is about. And we're built on survivors. And that's, you know, when you come to Police Week and you're at the host hotel, it's all survivors helping survivors. We don't have any really outside people besides some of our mental health professionals. But the majority is survivors helping survivors. Our chapters are all survivors. And that's what we're about.
I love that. So I sidetracked this a little bit, but kind of going back to the Survivors Conference, I appreciate you guys letting me dive into that a little bit. So we were talking about, you know, the point was you have survivors that have been going to Police Week, they've navigated some of the hurt and pain, helping people who are there maybe their first or second year. That particular day of May 14th, the Survivors Conference. Tell me a little bit more about what goes on there, and we'll keep on moving.
And yeah, so there's lots of classes that are offered on the schedule. You know, somebody can look through and see something that fits maybe what they're going through. I mean, there's a whole, I don't have the list in front of me, but I mean, you know, there's classes on how do I talk to my children after this loss? You know, how do I deal with family dynamics? How do I deal with, you know, with there's always family dynamics when stuff like this happens, you know? And so the amount of classes that they have, I mean, almost every room we have here at the Washington Hilton, you know, available room is filled with a mental health professional and all teaching classes that they're, that, you know, that they specialize in. Like I said, a lot of people don't know how to return to work. A lot of people have survivor guilt. A lot of people have all kinds of different issues. And so there's so, such an array of different classes that people can look through and find one that's going to fit, you know, what they're going through the most. And being able to go and listen to people that understand and have been through it is life-changing, especially for these first and second year people just attending Police Week for the first time.
The No One Fights Alone podcast is excited to announce the launch of our new merchandise line. Now you can show your support for our mission by purchasing one of our hats, shirts, or hoodies. Our merchandise not only represents our brand and message, but also supports a great cause. A portion of all proceeds will go towards helping individuals and families affected by mental health. Wearing our merchandise not only spreads awareness for our podcast, but also serves as a reminder that no one has to fight alone. Join us in showing your support and spreading the message of hope and community by purchasing one of our No One Fights Alone items today from our website, nofapodcast.com, nofapodcast.com.
Kyle, you mentioned earlier something about a family that had kiddos. I know there's a specific kind of designation and calendar events for kids. You want to tell us a little bit about what that is, kids and teens?
Yeah, so actually the day of the conference is the day that the kids camp leaves. So we, for surviving children, they leave the host hotel. They're escorted out by the motors on a bus, and they head to Quantico FBI Academy for the day. And they, while they're there, they, you know, they do tons of fun activities with the cadets in the FBI Academy, from, you know, playing ball games, board games. They take them on EVAR courses, all kinds of stuff to do. But they also receive some counseling and some sessions while they're there. And that gives the parents and family members time to attend their sessions here at the host hotel. And then the second day is today, and they head to Fairfax, Virginia. And they do similar activities there. And it's kind of when they come back to the hotel, you kind of, when they leave, you see them, you know, kind of not want to leave their parent to get on that bus. But when they come back, you just see groups of, you know, 20 kids running around the hotel, and they, you know, they don't want to leave each other, you know, in the weekends. And that's like the beginning to get these kids to go to kids camp and young adults. So that's the programs that we offer this week while the kids are here.
So again, we're talking about making connection, right? This is we're certainly staying on topic with that theme. But so end of May 14, was there anything else particularly that happened that day?
So that night we have a, it's called a Blue Honor Gala. This year, COPS is celebrating its 40th year. So the national staff has did a phenomenal job. We have our founder, Susie Sawyer, that's been here all week. It was Susie's vision, you know, years ago, to have more for the survivors. And her vision all those many years ago has turned into what we have today. So it was a huge honor. We had lots of speakers, people throughout the years that have been very integral in the COPS organization, you know, that would just speak for just a minute or two. We've had a few different kids that have grown up in the organization that sang some songs, different things. And then, you know, obviously it's kind of a big black tie event, nice dinner, and then ended the evening with country singer Craig Morgan doing a concert, a private concert for us. So just a big honor this year to, you know, to the whole COPS organization, a lot to Susie Sawyer for her vision of starting this. And I mean, it's amazing. They did a great job with like a video tribute as the night went along, talking about, you know, the early years and the struggles to get things going, but then the immediate help from the Bureau of Justice Assistance to help Susie and all the sponsors along the way. It's pretty incredible to see where we're at today.
You know, I did get to see some pictures, some gala pictures, and for two knuckle dragger police officer deputies, you two cleaned up really good. I'll just throw that out there. It was, it looked like it was a great time. I actually got to sit and visit with Susie at the Survivors Conference back in January. And we actually talked briefly about, you know, could you have imagined that Concerns of Police Survivors would be here? And I got to learn a little bit of the history about how it started. And she was just, it was an incredible conversation. And speaking to the, you know, this being the 40th year, it was, I'm sure the gala was amazing. So that's awesome. So May 15 is the memorial service, is the actual day, nationally recognized as Peace Officers Memorial Day. And the memorial service, one of you want to talk a little bit about the memorial service?
Yeah. So, this day, the families wake up pretty early and they're, at the host hotel, we get them on a bus, and once all the buses are loaded, we're escorted as a package to the U.S. Capitol. And then once we arrive, they're escorted to their seats, and we have a few speakers. The President of the United States attended this year. There's a few speeches, and then the roll call begins. And when they call that officer's name, the family walks up and will place a carnation in the wreaths at the front of the stage. And then once the roll call is complete, those wreaths are escorted to the National Law Enforcement Memorial, where they are put down, and there's honor guard standing guard of them until midnight when they're retired. And then they're escorted to the host hotel and put in the lobby until the week is over.
It's another deeply moving experience, a ceremony, if you will, another deeply moving ceremony that is emotionally exhausting. I know, having attended several myself, at the end of these days, you're just completely drained from interacting or being engaged emotionally yourself in your coworkers' loss or bringing back memories, you know. Is that fair?
And it's just, like Kyle said, it's just the families are up so early, and it's, you know, it's hard with those that have little kids. You know, you're in line to get in the buses for a while. I mean, just the logistics of getting everybody over there all at one time is incredible. Then the memorial starts at noon, you know, usually is over. It usually takes, you know, between 2 and 3 hours for that memorial to happen. And then, the families get back to the hotel at, 4 o'clock, maybe even a little bit later. And then the rest of the day on the 15th is just for them to kind of relax. Like I said, it's just been such a long, you know, in DC, this year was actually really good weather. I mean, it was cloudy, but it's usually either just screaming hot or a downpour. And so it was pretty nice this year, but just such a long emotional day for the families, you know? So then that night they just all kind of relax at the hotel and kind of take a deep breath.
For sure. And then May 16 is another, Concerns of Police Survivors, Survivors Conference, which is more of an educational day. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we, again, we'll have breakout. We have breakout sessions in the morning. We have, they're about an hour and 15 minutes each, and then they give them about 15 minutes to find their next class, and they have a second session. And then we head into the ballroom for the closing session, where we have some awards that are given for Volunteer of the Year, Chapter of the Year. And we gave away a new award this year for counselors who have devoted their time to COPS. And then we close it out with Healing Hands, which is like the COPS theme song. And once we're done with that, we have a little bit of break, and then we have a Blue Family barbecue tonight where we kind of get to relax a little bit, have some fun. They take over the ballroom with some bounce houses, DJ, balloon animals, stuffed animals for kids, and it's just kind of time to relax and take a deep breath after a long week.
I love that. So that kind of wraps up the week, and I know you guys are tired, and I really appreciate you taking time out of I know you're both really busy. They keep the national board moving pretty much nonstop, so I know you guys are wore out. But as we kind of close out here, do either of you, or maybe both of you, have a let me kind of tee this up a little bit. Nearly every police week I went to, there is some powerful experiences that just touch my heart to an incredible level. And it's pretty common to happen. Either you've met a new family or a new set of survivors or new agency, or you've just had something enormously impactful from the week. Either one of you have one of those experiences that you'd like to share as we kind of wrap up and close out?
Yeah. So, I mean, just about every family story is touching to us, because everyone's got their own story. Some of them are similar, but they all have their differences. And I think one of the ones for me is I have a family from Massachusetts whose his father passed away, and he's probably about 6 years old. He has autism, and I think that it was very touching. Is we have an artist who makes photos of the officer and is presented to the family, the primary survivor at the at check-in, and when he was presented this photo, he just started crying and said, "That's my daddy, that's my daddy," and it's an emotional thing to see, like a young child who's 6 years old go through this. And if you sat in that room and watched anyone receive those photos, it's very emotional to see. But I'm sure Max can attest to this. It's just, it's very moving. This week is tough for me. My grandfather was killed on May 15th. So every time I'm here at Police Week is my grandfather's on the watch. So it's tough to balance that, being here and, having that on your mind.
You have a great heart, Kyle. Thanks for sharing that. Max, anything?
Yeah, it's like Kyle said, there's always, I think almost every story is emotional and moving. And, it's been a little bit of a different week this year for me. We just had a line of duty death in Utah just a week and a half ago. Of a guy that I knew, in a department that I've worked closely with. I know, all the guys in that department, and, his funeral was on Monday while we were out here. So just a couple of days ago. So that was kind of I felt like my heart was kind of torn in two, that I needed to be here at Police Week, but I also wanted to be home with them and helping and supporting them. But one other is it's really neat here to see how the networking works. And it doesn't matter if you're a surviving spouse or parent or coworker or whatever it is. But we had a gentleman here today, this week, that who's a parent and just recently lost his son. Him and his son used to like to ride motorcycles together, and he was expressing how he hasn't been on a motorcycle since. The night of our Blue Honor Gala, he was just kind of sitting at a table by himself. And we had a surviving spouse from a different state that didn't even know him, and went and sat at his table with him for probably a half hour and just visited with him. And the connection they made was just amazing, and they both cried together and talked. And she asked him about his son, and he was able to tell stories about his son and about riding motorcycles and stuff. And just a really neat thing. And at the end of their conversation, he was feeling so much better and enjoyed himself at the gala that night. And you see that all week long. You see people when they first show up that are, especially the first year people here, that not really sure they want to be here. They're not really sure what they're in for. You know, you can kind of, it's fun to see as the week goes on, the look on their face as they get more comfortable and they meet people and they're excited to talk to people. They're excited, you know, during some free time to hang out with some of these people that they've met and visit with and become friends and have these lifelong acquaintances. So that's, I think that's one of the neatest things to watch, you know, during Police Week is the transformation of people.
I think if there's ever a question whether you're a part of a family in the blue, Police Week negates anybody saying there isn't a family, because Police Week actually exemplifies that. And obviously through Concerns of Police Survivors and FOP and National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, that brings that and solidifies that through a really powerful week. Gentlemen, I want to applaud you. You guys are doing God's work. If nobody's thanked you, which I'm sure someone has, thank you so much for what you do sitting as board members. I have been to Police Week. I know what a board member's work is, and you guys are doing incredible work up there. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for taking a moment out of your day while you're there to spend it with me. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us on, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chateau Health and Wellness is a 16-bed treatment facility nestled in the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains in Midway, Utah. Chateau's First Responder Resiliency Program is designed to treat the unique challenges and issues that first responders encounter in the course of their careers. Chateau's comprehensive and highly individualized approach to treatment addresses more than just the presenting issues. It addresses the why. Each of their seasoned, trauma-trained, and culturally competent therapists utilize evidence-based, specialized therapies to treat trauma at its core and enable clients to begin the healing process while developing a resilient and healthy relationship with stress. Chateau Health and Wellness is trusted by departments and agencies from around the country to treat responders and veterans. In fact, it is one of only a handful of facilities nationwide that is vetted and approved to treat members of the Fraternal Order of Police. For more information or to speak to a representative, go to chateaurecovery.com or call 888-507-5031.